Hello and welcome to the Aperiodcast for the 29th of July 2012, or it might be the 30th by the time we finish recording this intro. We've had a lot of trouble, listeners. This podcast is for us to talk about what's been happening recently on the site aperiodical.com. There are three of us normally, but Peter Rowler is missing. But I'm Christian Perfect, and with me is Katie Seckles.
Hello.
Excellent. I think we've done it. So we can carry on with the podcast we recorded 10 minutes ago now. There's going to be a bit of an abrupt change now. What's been happening on the Aperiodical since the last one? Loads, because it's been ages. It's been about 5 weeks, during which I went on holiday. What did you do, Katie?
Oh, all sorts of stuff. I've been doing a lot of maths and going to talk about maths in different places. I've been to a conference about science communication, which is called The Big Event, because it was organised by BIG, the British Interactive Group. And that was full of people doing science talking about, and I was there going, hey, everyone, maths is great. And they were like, yeah, whatever. So that was fun.
Good. And I think the reason Peter's missing is because for the past, apparently, 2 months, he's been writing all of the words down.
Yes.
I think that's what his job is.
He's proofreading what he's written.
Oh, he's got to check them as well. Oh, that's terrible. Right, so we'll get into it. The most read article of the past forever on the Aperiodical is Telegraph's Numeracy Open Letter. I don't have it open. I don't know what the full title is. Peter noticed that the Telegraph, with their numeracy campaign called Make Britain Count, had written an article. They illustrated it with a picture of a girl writing out her times tables on a blackboard, and it was wrong.
Yes, there was a really, really obvious error in it, wasn't there?
Yeah.
It was 12 times 4 is 38, or so. It was some horrendous typo.
They got to 10 times 4 equals 38.
Yeah, 10 times 4 equals 38, which is even worse, because 10 times 4 is one of the easiest times tables ever.
Yeah.
But I think the Make Britain Count campaign has been pretty good overall, because they've been talking about maths a lot, and Matt Parker's been doing some really good puzzles, which I think we've posted about. And they tend to have just put loads of maths in the Telegraph, which is never a bad thing. But this open letter to Michael Gove about numeracy and standards and what they think should happen, and they've quite nicely illustrated it with the fact that everyone is innumerate, including the staff of the Telegraph.
And also, I don't think Michael Gove would have noticed this error, so maybe it doesn't matter.
It was a test. Maybe they sent it to Michael Gove, and if he replied and said anything other than "that's wrong," then they know that, you know, we're all doomed.
Well, and they cancel the campaign and take Matt's advance off him, and
yeah.
Yeah, so lots of people thought that was worth looking at, maybe because they couldn't believe that such an upstanding organ as the Telegraph could get it so wrong. Yeah. So, Katie, what was the most discussed article recently?
The most recently discussed article has been a piece called More and Less, which is a really nice little article that's been written by Paul Taylor, who's one of our contributors. Incidentally, if you do want to write any stuff for us, we'll talk about that later, but please feel free to be a contributor. But Paul has, I live with Paul, so I'm aware that he's been reading Tim Harford's book, which is about economics and stuff. I haven't read it yet, as you can probably tell. But he's been gradually, over the last few weeks, reading this book and going, "What is this?" Just occasionally shouting around the house. And it turns out the reason for this is because Tim Harford has been using a slightly clunky sentence construction, which involves using the phrase "n times less," which it's not completely clear what that means. If something's like five times more, that's pretty kind of obvious what that means. But if you say five times less, is that a fifth or is that a sixth? Or, you know, what are you precisely saying there? And aside from anything, even if you do accept that it has a specific meaning, it doesn't sound very good. So he's written a bit of a piece about this, and there's been quite a bit of discussion on that. So, some of the comments have been from Paul replying to people who've said things, but there has been other people saying, yeah, it really annoys me when people say things like that, and here's another example from somewhere else, and Also, the Guardian style guide has weighed in and said that they feel distinctly queasy about using that phrase. So, obviously, Paul's got some leg to stand on in this discussion, but I think it's interesting because it's important when you're talking about numbers, in particular maths, to be as precise as possible. And you think that Tim Harford would kind of be aware of, you know, how horrible that sounds to say. I don't know.
I saw one today. I'm not sure if it was some Olympics reporting or just something else, some article somewhere else I saw. And they said someone is increasingly less something or other.
Less.
Okay. I've never liked that one. It means they were less X, but now they are less, they're more less X.
Yeah.
The gap is bigger.
Yeah, incidentally, Paul's title for that piece is quite witty, given that Tim Harford does more or less on Radio 4. And it's called More and Less because it's about use of the phrase.
Yes, a very good title there.
Yes, I like that.
So that generated a few comments. Good. And the next thing we have to talk about is Anything Else, which is an excellent section of the podcast. We have lots of Anything Else. We have all the rest, everything else even. So I finally did an interesting Esoterica post. It had lots and lots and lots in it, so I got a bit tired of it at the end. I did a cheering roundup, rounding up all the cheering year stuff. When it was a cheering centenary, we haven't discussed it. How do we feel in this post 100 years of cheering?
I was actually thinking the other day, if Alan Turing was still alive, would he go to his local maths jam? Would that be Manchester Maths Jam? And would that be a bit weird because he's 100?
It would. You'd have to keep shouting the puzzles and go, "Did you hear, dear?"
Yeah, but he'd be straight in there with the answers.
He would be straight in there with the answers.
Like, as soon as he could actually hear what you were saying and understand the question, he'd be like, "Oh, seven."
Seven.
That's just what he'd say. It was good. It was worth doing a roundup. As we were saying, there were quite a lot of things about Alan Turing flying around because it was the centenary. And in particular, it was his actual birthday. Was it like the 26th of June or sometime around then? And there were a lot of sort of bits of things that we thought it was worth having a roundup of what's good, because you can't possibly read them all. And if we could pick out some nice ones for people, that would be useful. So thank you for doing that.
Good. Then I did some more rounding up. I like rounding up. I can't be doing with these fractional parts. I did an open access roundup. The big news in open access recently is the Finch report, which recommended gold open access, and Cambridge's new open access journal, which has got all the big heavyweights behind it.
So also, Maths Jam Conference. In fact, if Alan Turing was still alive, you'd definitely go to Maths Jam Conference. And the booking is now open for the 2012 annual Maths Jam Conference, which is going to be in November. I think it's about, is it 16th and 17th of November? It's a weekend.
Well, I'm not going to trust you because you got the date wrong in the post, first of all. So I'm going to have to look at the site.
Okay.
Did you see that? Someone complained?
Did someone complain?
Yes, it's the 17th and 18th of November.
17th and 18th. I went and looked and it said the right dates. And I was like, I don't know what people are complaining about, but obviously you fixed it. So apparently I'm consistently wrong and it isn't the 16th and 17th. It's the 17th and 18th of November. And it is the best 2 days of the year if you're at Maths Jam. Otherwise, it's rubbish.
I wouldn't go that far on the otherwise.
Maybe
a lot of people might feel equivocal about it.
Well, it is rubbish because your Twitter is just full of people tweeting about things that are going on at Maths Jam.
Oh, yeah.
Not able to experience. So
Make sure you're there so that the tweets are interesting and not hateful.
And that you see the tweets and go, yes, it was funny when that happened.
Yeah.
Rather than, But yeah, it's a 2 day conference, which is a lot like the Maths Jam monthly pub evenings, which are amazing, except that it's 2 days. Everyone's in the same place. You can be in actually the same place as both myself and. Are you going there, Christian?
I'm definitely going.
Me and Christian will be there. Peter might well be there as well. No Samuel Hansen this year. Various other people, probably Matt Parker, Colin Wright, and everyone else who's brilliant. Just 5-minute talks about maths and fun. So do go to that if you want.
The great thing about the Maths Jam weekend last year was that I didn't come out of it completely intellectually drained like I do out of every Maths Jam night.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if it's just the level of competition at Newcastle or what, but monthly Maths Jams, I leave just destroyed.
I get the impression that Newcastle Maths Jam is pretty hardcore, just from the amount of kind of proper maths that goes on there. And not to put anyone off attending Newcastle Maths Jam, if you want to go, I'm sure they would be very nice. And
well, actually, good news on that front. They're leaving. They're all taking up PhD posts elsewhere.
Oh, what? So they can get the other Maths Jams?
One of them's going to you, in fact. So hey. Make sure you greet him when he appears.
Excellent. But yeah, I think Maths Jam weekend, I've been twice now, and the first year I came away, because I was in the middle of my PhD and feeling a bit kind of terrified, I came away from the Maths Jam weekend remembering why I love maths, and literally going, right, where is this maths? I'm going to get on with it now. Like, I was so energised by it. It was crazy.
Yeah, it does the opposite of Newcastle Maths Jam. It leaves you positive and optimistic about maths.
Cool.
Okay, next item. We discovered what Shuria Ray actually did. If you remember, he was the German child / teenager / person who was reported to have solved an ancient, I know, hundreds of years old Newton problem in physics. It turns out he just reproduced some results that we already knew about, but pretty good going for a 14-year-old.
Yeah, that's I'm glad we figured out what actually happened there, because it was a huge story, but no one was really sure what was actually going on, because it wasn't clear from the article in the Sun.
Yeah.
Another thing that happened was that it was Tau Day. So if anyone doesn't know what that is, Pi Day is of course March the 14th, because if you're American, that's 3.14. I guess in date format, if you say the month first. So Tau Day, because Tau is 2 pi, is 6/28, which is 28th of June. And on Tau Day, we managed to get Matt Parker and Steve Mould, who are both from Festival of the Spoken Nerd, and who do quite a nice bit in their Festival of the Spoken Nerd show about pi and tau, which is better. And one of them comes out on the side of pi, and one of them comes out on the side of tau. We've got them to write a little bit of a piece about their opinions on that, so that was quite nice. We also had a Carnival of Maths, which was number 88, which was posted by, in fact, Christian, who did a very nice Carnival of Maths for us with some things shortly before disappearing on holiday.
I did it after disappearing on holiday.
Right. Yeah.
From my French gîte.
And we were like,
I managed to get some internet access and collate it all.
So that's a nice wrap of some maths blog posts. And of course, because we are lame and haven't done an aperiodcast for nearly 5 weeks, the next Carnival of Maths is due out very soon. And on the subject of that, in fact, if you want to send anything in, submissions are still open until the 1st of August. And if this podcast goes up at such a time that you're still able to get something in for that, any kind of maths blog post that you've seen that you thought was good, then please do send that in. There's a link on the aperiodical website to the Carnival of Maths page, and on there is a huge link to please submit something here. If you don't get it in time for the 1st of August, don't worry, it'll go in the next one, which will be hosted by Mike Croucher, who is a guy who has a blog, I think it's called Walking Randomly, but he was the person who looked after the Carnival of Maths before us. He took a few months while we've just been handling it, but he's offered to host one technically August. Technically September, because it comes out on the 1st of September. So if you don't get it in for the 89th Carnival of Maths, which is the one that I'm doing, then it'll definitely go in for the one after that. So please do submit something if you've got it. And the only other thing that's in the Any Other Things section was that I did a little piece about a video called Dance Your PhD, where somebody had entered the Dance Your PhD competition, which I heard of a little while ago and just thought, what? I can imagine a lot of subjects where it's quite possible to dance your PhD. And it's like a competition that encourages you to kind of reinterpret what you've been studying at your PhD you know, take a new view on it, which is nice, and it's a good way of thinking about things, but not pure maths, I don't know. But somebody who does some pretty pure-looking maths has managed to do a really nice dance video about cutting sequences on a double pentagon, which explains the maths that she's been doing really nicely. I mean, to be honest, the maths that I did for my PhD was about choreographies. So you'd think if anyone could dance their PhD, it would be me. And thinking about it, I probably should have entered that competition. Not that I'm any good at dancing. But I've done a little post about this video, and a lot of people have had a look at it and thought it was quite good. And I think we got a nice comment back from the person whose video it was, saying, oh, thank you for mentioning my video. So that maybe happened.
Good. Yeah, I like that video a lot. It's the result seems like surely it must already be known.
But
apparently not. She enlisted quite a lot of her colleagues to act as... I think they're wearing tinfoil hats for some reason. But they act as line. No, they act as edges, don't they? Yeah. Okay, next section. Send stuff in.
Yes, do.
Yeah, right. We need Peter. He knows how to podcast. The IP Radical, as always, would like to share your maths. If you have something on your mind or just know something cool, write it down or do a video or something, dance it even, that would be excellent, and send it in to us. You can email root@aperiodical.com. There's a page on the website that tells you all about everything. So please do that. Send in stuff for Katie's Carnival of Maths in the next day or two. We don't need anything else sending in, do we? That's all the things that we take. I feel like we should take more submissions.
We've not got the papers thing.
Oh, I've given up on that. No one sent in any papers.
Send in some papers, people.
Or send in pictures of your pets sitting on papers.
Yes.
I think that might be a more successful section on the site.
Given how the internet works, I think that's probably true.
Yeah. Okay. So that's decided.
Next, do what's happening in the future.
Well, I'm doing nothing. What are you doing, Katie?
I'm going to Edinburgh for the Edinburgh International Comedy Festival, or whatever it's called, Edinburgh Fringe Festival, where they do all the funny stuff in Edinburgh, because Matt Parker is there for two different shows. He's doing a show with Festival of Spoken Nerd, which is nerdy and full of maths, and he's doing another show, which is with Tamandra Harkness, which is kind of a, if you remember, they did a show called Your Days Are Numbered, which was about statistics and death and probability. They've now done another show, which is about engineering, and it's called Humans v Nature, Engineering FTW, which is about kind of the ways that humans have used ingenuity and engineering to overcome the challenges thrown at them by nature. And as far as I know, I've seen the preview of it, and it was hilarious. And I know since then they've been working very hard on getting it even better, so they'll be at Edinburgh with that. And I will be there in my capacity as mathematician, selling maths gear equipment outside the shows, which is possibly the silliest thing anyone's ever tried to sell.
It's not the worst merchandising idea at the Fringe, I'm sure.
I guess there is probably worse, but we've got all the maths gear stuff. We've got the Grime dice, which were invented by Dr. James Grime. We'll have shapes of constant width, and we've in fact got a new wooden version of the shapes of constant width, which are very smart laser-cut wood. Which, once we've finished at Edinburgh, will appear on the website. And of course, the amicable number key rings and all the classic maths gear products, which we're selling there. So that'll be my week. Also coming up shortly in the near future, it is, of course, the start of the month, which means it's time for Puzzle Bob. And I've written some new puzzles for Puzzle Bob, one of which is slightly logic-y and the other of which is slightly wordy. And that should be coming out around about the first of the month as well. So if anyone's a fan of Puzzle Bomb, keep your eyes peeled for that.
Excellent. You said Dr. James Grime there. I've noticed this recently. More and more people have been calling him Dr. James Grime. Has he suddenly noticed that he earned a doctorate a while ago?
I don't know why we're not calling me Dr. Katie Steckles. I was just being polite. I was bigging him up, I think. I think when someone's invented something, it's polite to doctor them.
Okay, maybe that's the reason. I used to have an IT teacher at school who insisted on being called Dr. I won't name him. And we all thought it was ridiculous. There's no way I can be Dr. Perfect. That's never going to happen.
Well, it's better than being Mr. Perfect, because that's already a thing. But
exactly. I get all the Mr. Men t-shirts and stuff. Dr. Perfect, that's not a... Right, we've come to the end of our list. We've run out of sections for the podcast. Should we make a new one up while Peter's not here?
Cats on the internet, photos of cats. We talked about.
Yeah, well, let's do an audio description of a cat sitting on a paper.
Yeah, what's the paper about?
The paper is... I can't remember a name of a funny one. Robust logic gates from crab swarms.
Right. And what breed of cat is it?
The cat is a nice tabby cat. He's got a nice stripe down his back.
Is he facing... like, is his body facing the body and his head turned to the camera?
No, this isn't the kind of cat that needs to look at you. This is the kind of cat that spends its days looking elsewhere.
Is it doing anything? Licking paws or anything? Or just...
I don't know. I think the picture could give you the sense that the cat might genuinely be thinking about the contents of the paper.
Okay.
So if you've taken that picture and we have randomly described it, please send it in.
Please do.
Okay. We better end. So goodbye.
Goodbye.